I think we have some of the prettiest sunsets that you'll see anywhere in this part of Kentucky. And the next time you see a beautiful sunset, just think how beautiful it is beyond that sunset. Look forward to that time. You know, life doesn't always go as we plan it. Sometimes life can throw us a curveball, sometimes a major curveball. There's a song we sometimes sing, the lyrics go, "Time is filled with swift transition. Life can change in a blink of an eye." Very drastically sometimes. Our commitment to God will guide us in times of less desirable circumstances. That's what I want to focus on this evening. That when life isn't as we would like for it to be, we need to remember that one thing has to remain constant, and that is our commitment to Christ, our commitment to serve God. That regardless of how stable or unstable life's circumstances might be, we need to be remaining committed to serving God. We have some Old Testament examples of this that we can consider. For instance, Joshua and Caleb. You remember here that here's the incidents where God has led the children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. He's brought them to the borders of the promised land. Spies have been sent in to see what the land is like and how difficult it's going to be to take the land. As far as human efforts would be concerned. And you remember that 12 spies were sent in. 10 came back and said, "Well, it's certainly a great land, beautiful land, and one that flows with milk and honey, but they have great walled, fortified cities, and the people are much bigger than we are, and they're people of war, and we don't stand a chance against these people." But Joshua and Caleb had a different report. Now, we're familiar with this, but I want you to think about the fact that when Joshua and Caleb heard the report of the 10 spies and said, "We can't do this," some of the things that must have been going through their mind. Because they had always believed what God told them. God's given us the land. He wouldn't bring us all this way and then just have us destroyed by the Canaanites. And now these 10 guys are saying, "We can't do it." And the people are listening to these 10 guys. Life just threw them a curveball. But I want you to notice their commitment. In spite of this, I believe, unexpected report that they are hearing from these other 10 men. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them." See, Joshua and Caleb saw everything that these other 10 fellows had seen. But they had a different attitude. That different attitude was based in the promise of God, in just the logic of what they had experienced in the last several months. God wouldn't bring us out here to destroy us. God didn't promise that land to have the people of the land destroy us. Their defense has departed from them. God is on our side. We can take the land. It has been promised to us. Their commitment to the promise of God remained. their faith remained unwavering. And they conveyed that same unwavering faith to the people of Israel. But their faith had been caused to waver by the report of the 10 spies. Keep that in mind the next time you tell your brother or sister in Christ, this is difficult, we might not be able to do this. Keep that in mind the next time your child is up against something difficult and you say, yeah, that's pretty difficult, I don't know if you can do that or not. Nothing will discourage someone quicker than an unfavorable report. And many times we give unfavorable reports to each other and we allow unfavorable reports to affect us. And we take our vision off of the promises of God. Difficult times come in everybody's life, and sometimes people's lives are changed completely differently than what they ever expected them to be. But our commitment must remain constant. You remember also Daniel. Daniel was taken away into Babylonian captivity, and he is noted as being a wise individual, someone that would be beneficial to the king of the Babylonians, to Nebuchadnezzar. And so he and others with him are taken into the king's court, the king's palace, and their intention is to feed them the food that the king eats and make them a Babylonian. Well, the food that they wanted them to eat, you remember, was food that was classified as unclean and forbidden for a Jew to eat according to the Mosaic law. And so when Daniel hears about that, you remember that it's recorded, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Well, Daniel, you know, it's not your fault that you've been placed in this situation. But the situation that Daniel found himself in didn't make him an exception to the law of God. He wanted to remain faithful to God. Daniel, you know, was, I don't know if it ever crossed his mind or not, but I wouldn't be surprised at what it did. You know, did Daniel know how the prince of the eunuchs was going to respond to the request that Daniel made of him? Did Daniel know that it might very well be that this would be reported to the king and the king would respond and say, well, just put him to death. We don't need him anyway. I don't know if all of those things went through Daniel's mind or not. But I do know this. That here Daniel found himself in circumstances that he had no desire to be in. But his commitment to God remained unwavering. He was going to do the will of God regardless of the circumstances that he found himself in. Regardless if it meant that he be put out with the rest of the people, and that was okay with Daniel. If it meant that he'd be put to death, that was okay with him too. But he was not going to defile himself and violate the law of God. Very similar to that, the familiar story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember Nebuchadnezzar was persuaded by people who hated these special people of Israel. And they knew that, let's make this golden image and give the command that whenever the musical instruments are played, that all of Babylon was to bow down. And anyone who wouldn't bow down to this image would be put to death. Knowing full well the commitment of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as others. I'm sure Daniel didn't bow down either, but the focus here is on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew that this might be a way to get rid of these guys. And so, sure enough, the image was built, the golden image was built, the musical instrument sounded off, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. And so it was reported to the king, and the king says, bring them here, they'll be put to death, they'll be cast into the fiery furnace. And standing there before the king, we read in Daniel chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if we're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Those bad situations Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in. They knew the Ten Commandments just like you knew the Ten Commandments. I'm the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. They were not going to bow down to this image, this false god that had been created by the Babylonians. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. They might be cast into the fiery furnace. They might not be. They knew that was the intention. They didn't know how Nebuchadnezzar was going to respond to what they said here. They didn't know if they were cast into the fiery furnace, if their God would save them or not. They knew that their God could save them. As impossible as that seems to anyone, it would take a miracle upon miracles to save someone from this fiery furnace. You remember that when they were cast in, that even the men who threw them into the furnace died because of the heat that was coming out of the furnace. They didn't even go into the furnace, and they died. You ever been around that kind of heat? Well, not that kind of heat. You probably wouldn't have survived either. But have you ever been around heat that was just so strong you had to back away? I have. It's not someplace you want to be. It's a scary situation. We don't know if our God will save us out of that fiery furnace or not, but we know that he can. And this is what we do know. We're not going to bow down to your image. Not now, not ever, never. We're going to serve our God. And I really don't know what was going through the mind of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you don't either. But I wouldn't be surprised at what they were thinking. We're going to die. We're going to die, but that's okay with us. But God heard what they said. God saw their faith. And God delivered them out of that fiery furnace. Have you ever been tested to that degree? I don't think any of us has ever been tested to where our lives were threatened, but maybe a friendship was threatened. Maybe a relationship was threatened. Maybe our livelihood was threatened. Maybe our job or something else. You know, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know this. I'm going to serve God, and I'm not going to compromise God's word just to make it comfortable for me. In the midst of unstable circumstances, our heart is given a soil test. Remember the parable of the sower that Jesus gave, and it's recorded for us in Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. A sower went forth to sow, And, of course, the seed was the Word of God, and it fell upon different types of soil or different types of men's hearts. And in the explanation of the parable of the sower, as recorded in Luke chapter 8, it says, those by the wayside are those who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. The ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What happens in our times of uncertainty, our times of difficulty, our times when life becomes unstable in a way that we would not like for it to be? Notice he says that one of the types of soil are those that the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts. I think sometimes as we read this explanation and even the parable, we think that, these things happen right away. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. One could have been a child of God for a long period of time, and all of a sudden, Satan takes the word out of their heart. What is your response when the devil leads you away from the Word of God? Do you read the Bible every day? Have you read your 7 chapters of Genesis by this morning's Bible study? And in fact, I guess the assignment really was supposed to be, we're to read the entire record of Genesis, the entirety of it, before this morning. And we probably didn't do that. I didn't do that because I didn't know I was supposed to do that. But will you do that before next Sunday morning? Will you have read all of Genesis? It takes a commitment, doesn't it? Well, yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. All right. Well, what if the phone rings and people call you away? Or what if other things come up? Or special show comes on television that you want to watch, or you just get busy. Maybe not in regards to just Genesis, but are you reading the Bible every day? Why not? Has Satan taken the Word of God out of your heart? Have you allowed him to do that? Just not enough time. Has he convinced you, you've read it so many times, you don't need to keep reading it every day? Have you believed that to the point to where you're not reading it every day? Who doesn't want you to read the Bible? Satan. Are you going to do what he wants? Or are you going to do what God wants? Are you going to do what you really want to do and draw near to God? Jesus talked about those who in time of temptation fall away. What is your response in times of temptation? Life's not going the way that I would like for it to go. Doesn't God care about me? Doesn't God see this? I thought everything was going to be great once I became a Christian. It is great. Because even in the most unfavorable circumstances and undesirable situations, God has not left you. And you can remain faithful to Him, and you know that He loves you and cares for you. But in times of temptation and discouragement, times that we think, well, this shouldn't have happened to me, because I'm a child of God. Well, why not? Has what has happened to you, is that anything different than what you read about people in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament? Did people in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, did they ever reach difficult financial times in their life? Did they ever face times that their health was not what they would like for it to have been? Did they ever experience the death of a loved one? Remember when Lazarus died? Remember what his sister said to Jesus? If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. If you would have been here, you could have cured him of his illness and he wouldn't have died. Remember what the disciples said before they got there? Remember what Jesus responded? This has happened that the power of God might be seen. And you remember that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And you'll remember that how God was glorified because of that miracle. And how that even the enemies of Jesus couldn't deny that a notable miracle had been done. What are we going to do? Believe, guys. No, we need to kill him. Sometimes we get discouraged because things happen to us or things happen to loved ones that we have. But we need to realize that in the darkest of times, that's when the brightness of God's faith in us can be seen. That we remain true to him and our commitment to him. And we're going to live for him. And in our time of temptation, we're not going to fall away. We're going to remain true to him. Talked about the seed that fell among the thorny places and how that seed, that good seed, was choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life. Do the cares of this world take priority over bearing the fruit of the kingdom with you? Talked about don't have time to read the Bible because, well, I've got other things to do. Well, that same excuse can be used for don't have time to pray, I've got other things to do, or I'm just too tired, I'll just lose my train of thought. I'm so tired. Well, then pray when you're awake. Set time aside when you're fully awake to pray. I can't attend Bible studies and worship services like I want to because I have to go to work. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I've got to have a job. God can get you a job. If God can get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of a fiery furnace, he can get you a job. A better job than what you have now. Do you believe that? How many times did Jesus ask people that? Do you believe this? And many times, probably ought to do a sermon just on that. Do you believe this? People said, yeah, well, we believe. We need to be like that father who brought his demon-possessed boy to the apostles in hope that they could cast him out, and they couldn't. And so he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the father responded, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, we, in our times of uncertainty, in our times of unstable circumstances, those are the times that most important for us to trust God and do His will, regardless of what the circumstances might be to us. And then you'll see the promise of God unfold in your life. He talked about those who, having heard the word, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Let us be of that type of heart. Let us prove our hearts to be noble and good by hearing and doing what God tells us to do, by trusting His promises, not knowing how those promises are going to be fulfilled, but trusting Him and doing His will just as we understand it from His Word. Don't let your circumstances overwhelm your commitment. Remain committed to your mission as a Christian. In Acts chapter 8, you'll remember verses 3 and 4, that we're told that Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committed them to prison. Therefore, those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. You might say, therefore, the believers were scattered, and you'd understand, well, he's dragging people off to prison, committing them to death, and yeah, I'd scatter too. Well, why was he dragging people out of their houses and having them put to death and separating them from their... Why? Because they had been preaching the word and obeying the word and telling others to do the same thing, that they needed to be Christians. They were reasoning from the scriptures that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God and the Messiah. I can understand, you might say, he was dragging them off to prison, therefore the disciples were scattered. But there's not a period there. They went everywhere preaching the word, doing the very thing for what they were being persecuted for. It didn't stop them from being a Christian. It didn't stop them from letting the light of God be seen in them. It didn't stop them from spreading the gospel message. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20. Why were they doing that? Because Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. They knew that that was their mission too. That as someone who had heard the gospel, they were to share the gospel. They were to go, just like the apostles were to go everywhere preaching the word. They were to go everywhere preaching the word too. But as they went with the assurance that God was with them. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. Certainly, God's with us, and it's evident that He's with us in the good times, but He's with us in the bad times too, in the difficult times, in the times that we're struggling. God is with us. And those are the times that we need to continue to do the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Let your manner of life, the way you conduct your life, be without covetousness. We're such a covetous society. We even not so much covet things, but we just covet ourselves. We're so wrapped up in ourselves today. How many likes am I getting on Facebook? How many this and that and people paying attention to what I'm doing? Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Isn't this enough? He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that enough for you? If everybody else forsakes you, is it enough that God won't? If your mother or father forsakes you, if your children forsake you, if your spouse forsakes you, is it enough for you that God will not forsake you? In Colossians 3, in the first two verses, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, when were you raised with Christ? From that watery grave of baptism to walk with Him in newness of life, to walk the pathway of righteousness with Him. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. What have you set your mind on? Have you set your mind on the things that are not the way you don't want them to be? You've set your mind perhaps on your ill health. You set your mind on your bad financial situation. Maybe you set your mind on your grief over a lost loved one. That's not what we're to set our minds on. On none of those things. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. Seek those things that are above. Verse 17 of Colossians 3 goes on to say, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Always look to Him. Why could Joshua and Caleb say, God has given us the land, let's go? Because that's what the Lord said. They knew they were authorized to take the land. Why can we say, I will not fear what man may do to me? I will not forsake the Lord in anything. Indeed, time is filled with swift transition. The song goes on to say, build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Life is going to change. God doesn't change. God will be there in all of those circumstances. Hold to His hand. Let your commitment remain sure with Him. Our commitment to God will guide us in our less than desirable circumstances. Just like it guided Daniel. Just like it guided Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our commitment to do the will of God, in spite of whatever man might do to us, will guide us and guide us to His side in eternity. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you know that you should be, and it's time for you to commit your life to Him, embrace these wonderful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Let us assist you in your obedience to Him and the beginning of your life with Him. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and need of the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe things are uncertain in your life. Things are overwhelming in your life. James tells us to confess our faults one to another. Pray for one another. If things are overwhelming with you, then let us pray with you and for you. God hears the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Can we pray for you? If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.